need the Lord. Let's turn to the book of Acts 16. A couple of you men, if you could pass out the sword of the Lord, and I'd like you to take a sword of the Lord. I want to show you a couple things in the sword of the Lord here before we get into the message. Grab a copy. Thank you, Mrs. Lindsay. That will go along with the message this morning. People need the Lord as we turn and find Acts chapter 6. When you have your sword of the Lord, turn to page number 5, and you'll see the obituary here for Brother Bob Halsey. Some of you may have been here in 1995 when he was in this pulpit. I didn't know a thing about Faith Promise Missions Giving at the time, and he wrote the book on it. Right there, page number 5. Brother John Halsey. In fact, I think I still have his book, but I think I gave it away to a pastor. All those things we do, international dinners, Faith Promise Missions Giving cards, this is the man that taught us that. And since he was here, I think we've raised about $3 million for missions. So that's page number 5. Look at the back page, the big page. Ladies, Francie Taylor was at our church once when we had a ladies' conference, and she's got a big ad on the back page for some ladies' Bible studies. Now, you can kind of look into that on your own. It's easy to use ladies' King James Version Bible studies. So Francie is a widow now. Her husband went home to be with the Lord. He was with us when they came. That was a long time ago. But so if you ladies are looking for some direction in getting your Bible study, your life going, Francie is sound as can be. She's really sound and a great ladies' conference speaker. So, but I certainly thank the Lord for John Halsey. I don't know. I didn't know what I was doing. I just said, we can do better than what we're doing for missions. And so I called him up and had him come into our church, and we've been doing Faith Promise ever since, and international dinners and supporting missionaries and trying to treat them well. And he's with the Lord now. And he's gone to his reward. What a man of God he was. Acts 16. I want to speak this morning on the subject, the four cries to evangelize. Four cries to evangelize. Four cries to evangelize. The word evangelize, of course, means to tell others, to spread the gospel, to try to win other people to Christ. Somebody evangelized you one day. Maybe you didn't know the word, but somebody talked to you and showed you how to be saved, and it made a difference in your life and opened your understanding, your heart, and you were converted and trusted Christ as your Savior. That's called evangelization. And when we go out and talk to people on the streets and in their homes and nursing homes, prisons, wherever we go, schools, and whatever, we need to evangelize. And there's four cries to evangelize. This outline is not mine. I heard it 40 years ago from some well-known preacher. I don't know if it was Tom Malone or Lee Roberson or Jack Hiles or Curtis Hudson, somebody. But I never forgot the outline, and I hope you will not forget the outline either as we try to develop it into a mission. And my prayer has been this week that you wouldn't just listen today, but you would hear these four cries to evangelize. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 6, we have the first. It says, now, when they, that is Paul and Timothy, the evangelists, the missionaries, had gone throughout Persia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, because they had already been there. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. They had already been there. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man in Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Isn't that precious? I'm glad they went. Because when they went and they began to speak the word of God, something divine happened in this lady. Something none of us can do. It says, whose heart the Lord opened. And brethren and sisters, when you go out and talk to people about Jesus Christ and share the word of God, it is the word of God that does the work by the Holy Spirit, and you will have that experience where God will open people's hearts and they will trust in Christ as their Savior. And verse 15, and when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And we see what's called the Macedonian call, as it has been written in a famous hymn. But I want you to see four cries to evangelize. And the first cry is the cry from without. The cry from without. And that is this man. There stood a man in verse 9 of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. The first cry is the cry of them that are without, those who are out in the world who don't know what they need, they don't know what they want, but they're crying for help. And people in our society are crying for help. They're turning to education, they're turning to social media, they're turning to cults, they're turning to alcohol, they're turning to drugs, they're turning to pleasure. They're turning to money, they're turning to everything, but they're all crying for help. And there are those that are out there who are crying, and their cry compels us to evangelize. And sometimes it's hard evangelism, we understand that. But there are some, and Anna spoke of that. We talked about Anna back around Christmas time, and in the book of Luke, and I'll read this for you in chapter 2 and verse 38, as she was an older lady, 84 years old, and she happened to be in the temple when Mary and Joseph brought little baby Jesus in. And she saw little baby Jesus. And it says she was serving God night and days with prayers and fasting, and she served the Lord in the temple. And when she saw Jesus, it says in verse 38, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. There are those who are looking for redemption. There are those who are looking for salvation. They want to know God. There is a call from without. Help us. Help us. We don't know what we need, but please help us. And sometimes it's the first one that gets to them. If it's the cults, it's the cults. If it's Hollywood, it's Hollywood. If it's alcohol or drugs or pleasure, but they're looking for help. People need the Lord, as we just heard so wonderfully sung. You and I may have to sift through a lot of tares before we find some wheat. But eventually we can come across people in 2020 who are hungry and who want to accept Jesus Christ as much today as you did the day you got saved. They want that. I don't know about you, but I remember the day when I got saved. I can't forget it. I just can't get over it. I was only 12. It was 50 years ago. But I remember as the preacher preached that day, I said, that is what I have been looking for. I didn't know what I was looking for, but that is what I have been looking for. As he explained the gospel, he explained Jesus Christ, the Savior, who died for me, and shed his blood that my sins might be washed away and that I could receive eternal life and have my sins forgiven. my record clean and I could have eternal life. But there was a cry in me from without in me saying, help me, somebody help me. And things were going bad in my life, and I don't want to beleaguer you with the details, but Mom died when I was 4. She died of cancer, and our family, my dad went to pot, our family went to pot. Everything we had, which was so good, just blew in pieces because of the last enemy, which is death. And then Dad started drinking, and that didn't help, and we got tossed back and forth between grandmas, and he married on a rebound a year later. That didn't help, and I flipped the farm tractor on myself and almost killed myself, and I was just crying out, help me, help me. God, if you're real, somehow help me. And he worked things out where my dad got converted to Christ and his life changed dramatically, and he's 88 years old now and he's still Christ. And boy, if it's a delusion, man, it's lasted 50-something years. Amen. Hadn't worn off in my dad yet. And he got us into a good Bible-believing church. And we went in there with that attitude, my brothers and I, and said, help us. And a man preached the gospel. That's all the help we needed. There's a cry from without. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1, number 1, and I want to show you, second of all, there's a cry from within. There's a cry from within. In Romans, chapter 1, and verses 14 and 15, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Romans by the Holy Spirit. And he says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Notice there was a cry from within, inside of Paul, after he came to Jesus Christ, and he may have been the most dramatic conversion to Christ in human history. I don't know. But when you study his past and what he was, even the Christians of the day couldn't believe it when he got saved. They couldn't believe what a glorious conversion he was to Christ. But he looked at his conversion and he pronounced these three words in verse number 14. I am debtor. We might say today, I am a debtor. See, there was a cry within him. After he got saved, he didn't say, boy, that's great, man. Hallelujah. I'm all set. I'm going to heaven. No, he said, man, I owe a debt. I owe a debt. Man, people invested in me and people witnessed to me and I saw good testimonies before I was saved. I saw Stephen get stoned to death and there was something about his countenance while he was dying and I held the coats of those that were throwing rocks at him. And Dr. Norris Belcher, who's going to be with us in April, I was listening to him preach the other day, and he said back in those days they'd dig out these big pits, and they'd put the criminal down in the big pits, and they'd pick up big rocks, and so the criminal couldn't get away, and they'd throw the rocks at him. And that's what the Bible calls stoning. Stoning people to death. And the Bible says while Stephen was being stoned, Saul was holding the coats of those that were throwing the rocks and consenting to his death. But he saw something in Stephen that later in his life he said he could never get over. And that was the presence of the Lord. And Stephen was faithful to death. And Paul said that guy, he didn't cower, he didn't deny or anything. He died and... And in dying, Christ dying for me and Stephen dying there, it affected me. The people that were a good testimony. Did you ever think about the people that led you to Christ? We ought to think of ourselves as debtors. We're debtors. There ought to be a cry from within us that says we ought to evangelize. Somebody made an effort to reach you. Somebody made an effort to reach me. I tell this story often. The church that I got saved in, somebody kept that church open for 125 years before I walked in. That's a lot of human effort. And that's why we try to open these churches and that are closed down so that maybe they'll never be big or famous or anything, but maybe 5 years from now, some little boy will walk in saying, help me. Get saved. There ought to be a cry inside of us to evangelize. Somebody printed a gospel tract and gave it to you. Somebody printed a flyer or a booklet or somebody printed a Bible. Did you ever think of how much effort went into the translation of our English Bible? Just so we can have it in our language. There's so many languages that don't even have a Bible today. Look at all the effort that went in so we could have an English Bible. We ought to feel a debt to not let that stop with us. It ought to go to another person. We ought to feel like Paul, I'm a debtor. So he said, so as much as in me is, I am ready. I am ready. Learn how to be a soul winner. Learn these verses we're trying to memorize this year. Learn them word perfect. Learn a gospel plan. Learn some good illustrations that will open up people's understanding. And be like Paul here in verse 15. I am ready, he said. I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. May that be your theme too. I am ready. I have the gospel shoes on. And I am not ashamed, verse 16, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks. Boy, it's been a rough week in the Middle East. What? It's always bad over there. These poor Iranians, you know, you look at them and you think they're all bad. No, most of them are good. It's their government. I mean, they're protesting by the millions. They want a new government. They want to be free. They want to be like us. We're so blessed to live in this country. It's not funny. I don't know why churches aren't packed on Sundays with grateful Americans saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for letting me live in this land when we see this stuff going on. But you know, these Iranians are pouring out of these countries, and there's not enough missionaries. I remember one of our missionaries was in Germany for a while, and the Iranians were pouring in to Germany just to escape certain death. And he said in 1 year he baptized 1,000 of them because they were so hungry. They were so hungry. There's a cry from without. And then there's a cry from within. You and I should say, Lord, somebody put a lot of effort into reaching me with the gospel. I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. And we read earlier in our scripture reading, Romans 13:8, owe no man anything. Jesus said, when we pray, say, forgive us our debts. I am a debtor. Somebody reached me. I need to reach someone else. There is a cry from within. Every one of us. I remember when I got saved, I said, I got to tell someone else about this. And I started. When I was a teenager, a young teenager, I started telling others about Jesus Christ. And I went and took a course on personal evangelism up at the old Houghton College campus in West Seneca. And the instructor taught us how to use the Roman road, the verses we're memorizing this year, and how to have points and how to have illustrations and how to draw the net and ask people, would you like to pray and would you like to receive Christ as your Savior? And I tried to prepare myself so I could lead people to the Lord. And I've been able to do that many times since. But I've always felt a debt. I've always said this gospel can't stop with me. It's got to go on through me to others. There is a cry from within, and we all ought to have it and say, I got to tell others. And then there's a cry from above, number three. Turn over to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 6. We use this famous portion of scripture for missions often. But in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, and each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. I wish we were that modest in the presence of God and get all covered up. Amen? That's another subject. And one cried unto the other and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell. Now he went on to tell Isaiah, you know, not a lot of people are going to listen to you, but go and tell anyway. Go and tell. Isaiah didn't feel worthy. He said, woe is me. When he really got a vision of the holiness of God, he said, woe is me, I am undone, I'm incomplete, I'm not the man God wants me to be. I'm a man of unclean lips. Maybe he, I don't know what he meant by that. Maybe he was like me, a little foul-mouthed boy full of cursing and swearing and using God's name in vain. But God cleansed him of that and said, I'm going to use your lips now for something good. No more cursing. You're going to go and tell. You go and tell. Don't disqualify yourself. Maybe you're here today and say, yeah, I know I should evangelize, and there's a cry from above here to evangelize, but who am I? Well, get your sins forgiven. Get your tongue converted to God. Doesn't take long, and just start using your voice for the Lord. Go and tell. Learn how to tell others. But notice the cry to evangelize from above. Verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Whom shall I send? Who will see? God is working. God is witnessing all the time. There's the four universal witnesses of God. Amen? There's the conscience that's written in every single person. I mean, an atheist can tell you how a Christian should behave, even if they've never read a word of the Bible. Why? God has written his law upon their hearts. There's the conscience. The Comforter is witnessing to every person on earth. Jesus said, I'm going to send the Comforter. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Every person you or I ever talked to, the Holy Spirit has already gotten to them before we got there. He's convicted them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Christ is a universal witness. John 1:9, he is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And then creation. The Bible says creation speaks to every person in every language so well that man is inexcusable. Romans 1. There's the four. So God is already doing his part in the human race trying to save sinners. There's a cry from above. But there's three other witnesses, the church, the Christian, and the canon. That's the Bible, the scriptures that people don't have. So we need to plant churches. We need to have Christians everywhere in the world who will evangelize. And we need to translate the canon of scriptures, the Bible, in the languages of all the people in the world. Then people will really have a chance to be saved. And there's a cry, and there's some times when God has put out this cry and he couldn't find anyone. In the book of Ezekiel, he says, I sought for a man that would stand in the gap and make up the hedge between me and the land so I should not destroy it, but I found none. It's possible for human beings to become so distracted and so full of sin and so full of themselves that God can't find anyone anywhere to evangelize. Oh, that we would have the spirit of Isaiah. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Notice the word us. That's the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Who's going to go for us? And what does he say here? Then said I, here am I. Send me. And God says, I'll take you. Go and tell. There is a cry from without. Human beings everywhere. Everywhere. They're all over the schools, teenagers, children everywhere. We just had a child baptized this morning at Hilltop. Praise the Lord. I think she's about 10. Man, her grandma came, her grandpa came, aunts and uncles. Man, there was unsaved. I changed my message this morning. I said, man, I'm preaching the gospel this morning. And three people raised their hand that they'd accepted Christ. Because a little girl decided to follow the Lord, believer's baptism. Hallelujah. There's a cry out there, help us. Help us. There's a cry from without. There's a cry from within. Every one of us should say, God, somebody help me. I'm saved because somebody started a church. Somebody ran a bus route. Somebody ran a van. Somebody gave me a gospel tract. Somebody witnessed to me at work. Somebody prayed for me. Somebody, there ought to be a call from within saying, I can't let this gospel stop with me. I got to tell others. And then there's a cry from above. Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, I'm a mess, Lord. But if you use me, I'll go. He said, go and tell. And last of all, turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 16. I want to say to you this morning, there's a cry from below. There's a cry from below. Four cries to evangelize. From without, from within, from above, and from below. Look at Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. There was a certain man, I underlined in my Bible, there was. This is not a parable. There was a certain man. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. This is not a parable. Jesus never used first names in parables. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes being in torments and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. We have the story of the rich man here in hell. It says he was buried in verse 22, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. If you ever wonder, what do people think in hell? We actually have his words recorded for us. Verse 27, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But I don't think he said it as nicely as I just read it. I think he was begging and pleading and crying and said, please send somebody. Tell my dad. Tell my five brothers. Send somebody. Don't let them come here. Don't let them come here. Send somebody. And Abraham said, they've got the word of God. Let them read it and heed it. But there is a cry from below for us to evangelize. There is a cry from below. It's very important that we don't listen to these cries today, but that we hear them. The cry from without, the cry from within us that says, hey, someone told you. The cry from above, who's going to go for us? And the cry from below saying, somebody, send somebody, please. Don't let them come here. Send someone to my family. Four cries to evangelize. This year, this is our theme, evangelize. Of course, baptize, teach them. That's the Great Commission, but this is our vision, 2020 vision. For where there is no vision, the people perish. That's our theme verse from Proverbs 29:18. You can read that in your bulletin. We've got to have a vision. Got to believe these things by faith. By faith. And reach souls for Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for your help now. As we've looked at these four cries to evangelize, we pray we'd be affected by one of them, especially, Lord, that we might be affected by all of them. God, help us. God, help my heart. Lord, I struggle so much with my own heart, how it can get distracted, and we can focus on good things, but they're not main things, and we can get too many irons in the fire, and the fire goes out, and we can get too busy. But Lord, we need to have a filling of your Holy Spirit and just simple faith and taking you at your word. And we've tried to stick very close to the Bible today and hear these four cries for every one of us to evangelize. God, change our lives this year, we pray, in this area. Now as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed and the piano begins to softly play a song of invitation, I certainly want to encourage you, if you can stand to your feet, maybe step out to the aisle, come and pray and say, God, help me. I want this year to be different than last year. Maybe that's a prayer. It's been a while since I shared the gospel with somebody. Oh, how I thank the Lord for some that have been saved already this year, just getting started. But I wonder what God would do with us if all of us would just hear these cries. Are you saved? Are you sure? Or is it just something you hope? You can be saved and know it. God said that he wrote these things that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And if you are here and you're saved and you say, boy, I've just kind of cooled off. And man, I remember times I was an aggressive soul winner and passing out tracts, talking to people, and God used me. And maybe it's not that way anymore. Won't you come and say, God, fire me up. When David repented of that horrible, horrible sin of adultery with Bathsheba, he wrote about his repentance in Psalm 51. What a transparent confession he made that has helped all of us. He really confessed and repented of his sin. But then he said, create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And then he said these words, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. See, when we get right with God and confess our sins, then get our hearts right and have a right spirit, then we teach transgressors their ways, and sinners will be converted. Let's stand now together and close the service by turning page 535.